Today's reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has sent by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. May God add his blessing to the reading of these holy words.
I want to thank Carlin Thompson for putting me onto this story. It was October 27th, 2012. That was the day before Hurricane Superstorm Sandy would surge up the East Coast and slam onto Long Island. Richard and Samantha Specht were busy preparing their home for the approaching storm. Richard, an eighth grade science teacher, and Samantha, a high school German teacher, were the parents of two daughters, Abigail and Lorelei, ages 6 and 8, and son Reese, age 22 months. Samantha took the two girls and went to the store to buy some supplies. Rich remained home with little Reese, as well as his best friend from childhood, Reese's godfather. When Rich went to take some lawn furniture to the garage, he said to his friend, "Watch Reese." Later in the house, Rich asked his friend where Reese was. His friend said, "I thought he was with you." The two men began to frantically search for the not quite two-year-old. Eventually, they found him lying face down in a backyard pond. Rich began to perform CPR. His friend called 911. Reese was rushed to the hospital, but it was too late. The boy had drowned. Well, the next day, as a hurricane approached and pounded Long Island, the family began to make funeral arrangements. The power went out. They spent the next 11 days without electricity. Since many cell towers had been blown down, they had to go to the post office in order to get a signal strong enough to make phone calls. As word of the tragedy spread, people from all over began to offer their condolences and their help. Even people they did not know wanted to do something to help them. A local landscaper heard about what had happened and offered to fill in the backyard pond at no charge. Everyone worked to recover from the devastation of the storm, but the Specks had to recover from an even greater devastation, the loss of their son. Even after the electricity was restored, the Specks would need another kind of power to carry on. Well, Rich and Sam were bereft, as any parents would be, but they knew they could not give in to grief because they had two daughters who needed them even more. So they decided that the best thing they could do was to set up a foundation in honor and in memory of their young son. They named the foundation Reese Specht Life. They were so grateful for the many kindnesses that they had received They could not pay back everyone who had helped them, but they could use the foundation to encourage others to perform random acts of kindness. They even had cards printed up with Reese's picture on them that people could give out when they did something to help someone else. It was kind of a pay it forward movement, so some good could come out of something that was so bad. Somehow Rich and Samantha and their family found the power to carry on. Well, there is no personal devastation that is greater than the loss of someone you love. Rich said, when you lose a child, you always carry that pain. Well, in our scripture for this morning, the disciples of Jesus were about to face the devastation of their own personal loss. They already had lost Jesus once. He died on the cross. He'd been buried in a borrowed tomb, and their hope was almost gone. But then something amazing happened. Jesus was raised from the dead, and their hope was restored. And for 40 days, Jesus appeared to them. He presented himself alive. He spoke about the kingdom of God. But now they were about to lose him a second time. Jesus was about to be taken up to heaven, and he would be gone from their sight. No longer would he be present so they could see him and talk to him. I can only imagine how the disciples must have felt about to lose Jesus again. They must have wondered how they could possibly carry on without him. They asked if his imminent departure meant the imminent arrival of God's kingdom. They hoped that maybe this meant the world was coming to an end, God would come and restore his kingdom in all its fullness, and there'd be heaven on earth. If not, how could they go on without him? Jesus said, in essence, it's not for you to know the time when the Father will bring his kingdom in all its fullness. But until that time comes, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he'd said this, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. We call this the Ascension, and many churches celebrate today as Ascension Sunday. But the story is about more than Jesus going up to heaven to his rightful place with the Father. The story is also about those who were left behind and were again facing a devastating loss. They needed power to carry on. And Jesus promised that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they would be his witnesses to the end of the earth. What this story says to me, this Ascension Day story says to me, is that there is hope even after devastating loss. God does not leave us powerless when someone we love is taken from us. God sends his Holy Spirit to comfort us and to empower us to carry on and to live faithful lives for him. It certainly wasn't easy for the disciples after Jesus left them. They had to find a way to go on without him. But they stayed together, and they prayed together, and eventually they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that power gave them the impetus to be witnesses to him to the ends of the earth. It certainly wasn't easy for the Specht family to carry on after the death of their young son, but something positive came out of that tragedy. Somehow God is able to transform even tragic losses and bring good from them. Last month, Rich Speck received an email from someone he did not know. And I don't know if you're like me, but if you get an email from somebody you don't know, you may not even want to open it. Well, he almost didn't open the email because he didn't recognize the sender. But for some reason, he had a feeling that maybe he should read the message. The email was from a lady that was a waitress in a restaurant in Manhattan. And attached to the email was a photo of a receipt that she had processed as a server in this Times Square restaurant. Now, if you look at the receipt, you see the bill was for $43.50. It's not the amount of the bill that I want you to notice, but the amount of the tip. The tip was for $3,000. It wasn't a mistake. The diner deliberately left a $3,000 tip on a $43 bill. Well, it turns out the diner was a regular customer at this restaurant in Times Square, and he knew the server well. And he'd become aware that she was having some financial difficulties. They'd gotten to know each other. She'd taken an interest in his career. Well, he left this incredibly generous tip as a random act of kindness to help her in her time of need. But on the back of the receipt, he wrote a note that you probably can't read. But he wrote that he wanted her to do three things. First of all, he wanted her to go to the Respect Life website to read about the little boy. It turns out that the father of the little boy who died was his teacher in eighth grade science. And he was giving her this tip, this $3,000 gift, as a way to honor this little boy who drowned in the backyard pond. So the first thing he wanted to do was to go to that Respect Life website and read about it. The second thing he asked her to do was to pay it forward, to do an act of kindness for somebody else. And then third, he asked her not to give out his name or her name should she decide to share what had happened. Well, when Rich Specht read the email, he recognized that the diner, the man who gave the tip, was one of his former students. He remembered teaching the young man some 10 years earlier. He'd not heard from him since. But when the former student, now a rising Broadway star, heard about the tragedy that his middle school science teacher had suffered, he was inspired to do something to help somebody else. And so the $3,000 tip was given in memory of the little boy who drowned in the backyard pond. And the gift goes on. Now, I don't know anything about the religion of the Broadway star who gave this $3,000 tip. I don't know about the religious faith of Rich and Samantha Specht. But I do know that God gives us the power to do good. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit is all about. It's the power to do good. Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. We are witnesses for Christ when we do good in his name. We are witnesses for Christ when we share his love with those around us. We are witnesses for Christ when we tell about the hope that's ours through our faith in him. All of us are called to be witnesses because all of us have received the gift of the Holy Spirit if we've placed our faith in Christ. Jesus was lifted up and carried out of their sight. And those who loved him could have been bereft that they were losing him yet again. Instead, they stayed together and they prayed together and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And together, those followers of Jesus began to change the world. Well, next Sunday is Pentecost, when we celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We don't have to wait till next Sunday to experience the Spirit's power in our lives. If you believe in Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit has already been given to you. It's a power that can help you to overcome whatever loss you have experienced in your life. It's a power that can help you to transform that loss into a gain and do something good, even if something bad has happened. Rich Speck said that when he and his wife set up the foundation to honor their son, Reese, they never imagined that it would have a worldwide impact. But 2.5 years since Reese died, countless acts of kindness have been done in his name. In fact, today there are over 100,000 of those little cards with his picture on it that are in circulation around the globe as people have done something to help somebody and pass that card along to inspire them to help somebody else. And the gift goes on and on and on. Loss can be devastating, but God gives us power to carry on. If you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is present in your life even now. You have the power. What will you do? Our Father, we know that we are not alone. Even in times of great sorrow and loss, you're with us. And even when something bad happens, you can bring good out of it. You can transform even tragic loss into something powerful and positive and good. We thank you, our God, that we are not left to our own devices or strength, but that you empower us through the Holy Spirit to live faithful lives for you. And we pray that you would show us how we can use that power to do good in the world, to perform random acts of kindness, to seek out those who are hurting, and to offer the help and the love of Christ. Empower us, our Father, through the Holy Spirit, to be witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and we offer you the opportunity, as we do every Sunday, to respond to Christ's invitation to receive his forgiveness and his salvation, to become a believer, to follow him in baptism, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If that would be your decision, we'd invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 342, He is Exalted.
You'll forgive me.